You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hello, and welcome to Matt Meets Music Industry, except this week, we're not meeting the music industry. We are meeting Elliot Sloan, who is a skater. How are you, Elliot?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, it's kind of cool because it's like, this is going to sound really pretentious, but like you and I live in sort of this like weird Instagram influencer world.
Yeah.
And I feel like every once in a while, like you see someone following you and you're like, oh shit, that guy's actually really cool, which is sort of how I felt. You know, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely just crazy times, like connecting with people that, you know, you may never have connected with before social media, which is pretty cool. But I think I found your page just because, you know, I'm super into metal. I follow like a bunch of metal accounts, and I've got like a little project myself and play guitar. And I think I just stumbled on one of your videos and I was like, yeah, that's some pretty good advice. And then I was just like, yeah, check out his stuff.
I appreciate that. I thought, no, it's cool. Yeah. You know, because I was like, because it's funny because I'm not like deep into skating, but I've spent enough time with people who are into it that I kind of know some stuff. And I was just like really impressed by a lot of your videos, especially your use of reels. Is like, you know, yeah, I've definitely gone down a few rabbit holes of your stuff and been like, wow, nice. I sort of know that guy.
Thank you. Yeah. The reels have been going off, dude. Like one of them on Instagram hit like almost 2 million views or plays.
That's ridiculous.
And then on, you know, I'm finally doing the TikTok thing. People are just like, you got to get on TikTok. So I've just been posting the same stuff there. And I don't know if those numbers are inflated. It seems like they might be a bit inflated, but the numbers on there have been pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I have you on TikTok. I got to get you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so so your TikTok is popping off.
Yeah.
You follow. So like, how did this start? How did you go from just like some dude who skates to like social media skater celebrity or whatever?
All right. Well, I guess I'll take it way back. I grew up in New York City. I was born and raised in New York. And I got into skating probably when I was around 11 or 12. All because of Tony Hawk.
Sure. So this is like 2003, 2004.
This was like 99.
Okay. So even before. Okay.
Yeah. Like it was pretty much the moment that kind of hit me. It was, you know, I saw him do the 900, on TV at X Games, you know, like that massive moment and probably one of the biggest moments in skateboarding, but that just had such a profound impact on me. And I was already kind of skating at the time, but like not seriously. I wasn't like super into it. But then that moment there, I was like, okay, I want to skateboard. I want to skate vert. Like I want to do this. And then shortly after that, his video game came out. And I've always been super into video games. And so that got me even more into it because I was just obsessed with the video game. And then I was like, all I had was skating on the mind. And yeah, just got more and more into it. You know, really just kind of stuck with it. And it's funny, I did this interview yesterday. And you know, like I feel very fortunate to have grown up in the era without all this, without YouTube and just, you know, all this stuff so easily accessible. But I would just, you know, go to the skate shops and like try and collect skate videos and just watch them over and over and just got super into it, you know. And,
because it feels like, you know, I want your opinion on this, but I feel like sort of, because I grew up in Westchester, Pennsylvania, where Bam is from.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right, so I was like super exposed to a lot of this from a young age, and it feels like sort of those like Bam Margera, Viva La Bam videos or like the Tony Hawk skate videos, like those were sort of like proto viral videos.
Yeah. For sure.
Like, I feel like a lot of how we do content, it comes from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so funny to hear people throughout the years, you know, feel the same way about not only those videos, but about his video game and
yeah,
you know, Jackass and all those early kind of skate videos and stuff like that.
Well, it's like, it's crazy to think about how like 90% of metalheads got into metal because of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, is that your background in getting into punk and metal? I kind of assumed it was, but I might be
not kidding. Really, to be honest. I let me see. So I was kind of I guess the first like metal. I met this kid at the skate park and we were best buds. We kind of started skating together, and he initially got me into like Slipknot and Rob Zombie, and those were kind of like my two jams for a minute. And then it wasn't until I went to this other skate park out in New Jersey and I met these they're like these two pros skating out there, and I met them. They kind of like took me under their wing and really just, you know, taught me a lot. But they were super like deep into metal, and they were the ones that really turned me on to like Metallica, King Diamond. Got super into King Diamond. That was like the first metal show I went to.
Oh, that's cool.
It was like King Diamond and Entombed at this place called L'Amour in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so those guys really had a pretty big impact on me with as far as metal, and, you know, just got me super into all that stuff that I'd never even heard of before.
Sure.
So yeah, that was it. And then, you know, I just kept skating. And then, you know, as I got older, like some of the skate parks started closing down, and, you know, Southern California has always been like the center for skating kind of, and especially what I do, like skating vert and like big ramps. That's always kind of, this has always been the spot. So there kind of came a moment in my life where some shit really hit the fan personally, and then all my skate parks shut down, and I was like, it was at this kind of pivotal moment where I was like, well, I can either quit skating and like work, because that's what I was doing at the time. Like, I was working this job and I wasn't skating, and I'm like, fuck man, I gotta kind of take a chance and just go for it. And you know, I already knew a bunch of people out here, and they were definitely encouraging me to move out here. And so there was just a moment where I was like, okay, I'm going for it. Like, I hate waking up at 6 a.m. and chipping ice off my windshield to drive an hour to a fucking job. And like,
what were you doing?
Well, I worked construction for a bit. My mom's friend was like a general contractor, and so I was working for him for a bit. And you know, that was a cool experience, but not that fun. I mean, I remember the first day on the job, they were like, it was like middle of summer, and they were like, oh yeah, you got to go up in this attic and like insulate this attic. And I had no idea what it was, and I was in shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm just fucking jamming insulation into these rafters. And just like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but like that shit, oh my god, I was itching all night and it broke out in hives. So that was the first day of that job. And then I was actually after that working for this lawyer, just at their office, like filing papers and shit like that. Not really exciting, but yeah man, it was just, it's really hard to kind of pursue skate like the kind of skating that I do anywhere. Like, I mean, there's a few spots throughout the world, but it's not like street skating, right, where you can just go find street spots wherever you live. Like, when you skate vert, you need to not only have like a vert ramp, but kind of be around other people that are doing what you want to do. And that's kind of the same for anything, I guess, in life, you know, if like whatever you're trying to do or be good at, kind of surround yourself with people that are doing it or doing it better than you. And so that's kind of the same thing with this. It's like, all right, I had to move to San Diego and kind of surround myself with all the best dudes and really go for it. And I've been out here for like over 15 years now.
Crazy.
And yeah, I'll never move back.
So when did the social media celebrity start?
I've been competing for well over 10 years now. I've got like 11 X Games medals, five gold ones. I've been, you know, traveling, doing all that. But I'd say I think in the last year, my social media like pretty much doubled. Just 'cause last year, you know, obviously everything got canceled. I had a ton of events and contests scheduled, and then just, you know, none of that happened. So I was like, all right, what am I going to do? I'm either going to sit around and just hope that things come back, or I can, you know, really try and focus on creating like cool content. And I have no excuse because I have this set up at my house, and I'm just going to try and make the most of it. So I'd say like the beginning of last year, my numbers were like half what they are now.
Wow.
And you know, I was really trying to make a push on like YouTube, but YouTube thing's hard, man. Like I just hit 10,000 subscribers there, but you know, it's just, if you're not doing them like at least once a week, you know, the consistency is just really key on YouTube. But I've just been you know, trying to like focus on learning new tricks, filming little edits. I'm working on another new video part right now. So I say honestly, last year, dude, like just trying to collab with different people, and like, you know, like one of the videos I did here, I had Steve-O come over and we did this like
crazy thing.
Yeah, I did this thing on the ramp and like I jumped over him, and so there was just like a couple of things that were like pretty big. There was like this this young girl, Sky Brown, that came over and she jumped the mega, and that shit went off, dude. Like Sports Center posted that, like all these, like TMZ, like all these like massive accounts. It was like insane.
Sure. So I got so rad.
Yeah. So I got a pretty big boost from like a couple of those things. And then and it just seems like now I'm at this point where like, you know, any these tricks that I'm like posting seem to like go off and like just get shared and reposted. And so, you know, just trying to stay on that. But it's funny for people that don't skate or see, or even for people that do skate, like, you know, you see these clips of me doing this trick, but, or a trick, but may not realize how long that took just to do this one trick that you see for like 2 seconds. 2-3 seconds, you know. So I wish I could do them like every day, but shit's hard, man. Even for me at this level, it's like, skateboarding's really, really hard, man.
I get it. Yeah, no, and it's like, so because there's just like so much to unpack here, right? It's like, you know, it's interesting to me. Part of what I enjoy about your content is how it's kind of no bullshit, right? It's just like, look, I'm going to fucking get on a skateboard, fly 30 feet in the air, and you're going to watch it. There's no, like, you're not explaining anything to me or whatever. Was that intentional from the get?
No, not really. I mean, sometimes I have these kind of long thought out captions.
Yeah, I think are good.
Yeah. Which I'd like to go into more detail, but then I just think like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the majority of my audience are pretty like, they're young. They're just scrolling by shit. You know, I'm trying to just appease my sponsors and just, you know, so as long as the sponsors tags are like kind of some of the first things showing up, I'm just trying to keep them happy. And
I get it.
You know, but, social media is weird, man. I feel like also, you know, as my shit grows, I feel like there's like this weird pressure and like anxiety that I've never experienced or dealt with before. I think, you know, maybe part of that is just like, oh, putting yourself out there, you know, realizing that more and more people are like looking at your shit. I don't know. I mean, obviously it's just, but it's just this weird double-edged sword with social media, man. Like I've been getting, I feel like I've been really fortunate to, you know, I've been picking up a couple new sponsors throughout this the last year when like a lot of people are losing sponsors. So I feel really fortunate about that. But then it's like, you know, then it's like that a lot of this shit is dependent on social media now where the landscape for us has totally changed in the last, I'd say 5 years or so, definitely 10 years ago, where it's like sponsors for us were pretty like much based on your exposure at contests and placing at contests and all that, where now it's pretty much shifted to like, how many followers do you have? How much engagement are you getting on your, you know what I mean? It's weird, man. But I also feel grateful that to have experienced both sides of it.
Totally.
But yeah, with that being said, I do, I miss going to events and having that as well. Cause it's just, I don't know. It seems like we've been out of the loop so long now that it's just like all it is posting shit.
Which is frustrating because like, the events are, you know, even if it's cool to like watch you like lay vertically in the air,
right?
Like that's dope. But like, I don't know. I feel like it would be cooler to like watch you do that with like your homies.
Yeah, for sure. Just like, and you know, trying to get creative and post new shit and new tricks. But at the same time, I'm just like, man, I wonder if people are getting burnt up or just watching me skate the same spot over and over. Like,
sure.
I want to go to an event and get content from like, you know, a different spot or something like that. I mean, I don't want to make it seem like I'm complaining. Cause I do, like I said, I feel really grateful to have this set up here in my backyard.
Totally. It's insane.
Yeah. But
did you build that yourself or did a sponsor come in and do that for you?
Oh yeah. Well, I definitely had some help from sponsors and I got a really solid crew of ramp builders. But yeah, and that's a whole nother story. That's such a massive project. I mean, we started the vert ramp in 2013 and that went pretty good. Cause we had like all the money up front and it was like, here you go. And then fast forward to, let's say, like end of 2016, this whole like mega thing that I have back there, that was like, we really tried to piece that together over the course of like maybe almost 3 years. I mean, we just finished the final section last March.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was just an incredible amount of unforeseen things coming up and you know, we went over budget and just all sorts of headaches with that project, but that was super stressful for a while, but I'm super glad that it's done now. And I'd also say that was a huge factor in like the social media growth for me. You know, I was working on that for a while and it was super frustrating because like people would come over to skate and I'd be like, hey, can you like, please don't post that. Like, don't, like, I'm trying to keep this a secret. And that went on for like, I don't know, like a year and a half. And I just got so tired of being like, hey, like, please, can you delete that? Can you not post that? Don't show it. But it ended up working because my whole goal with that was, you know, this thing back there, there's never been a ramp like that before.
Sure.
So my whole goal with it was like build this thing, film this cool piece, and then have that be the first thing that people see, not just like a little bit here and there. And then they kind of like see it's coming.
Yeah.
But, and it was cool. Cause then Thrasher posted the very first clip and it fucking like, it went off.
Yeah. And it's just, it's gotta be, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but it's got to be surreal to be like, you know, you're not, And it's just one of the things that's kind of fascinating to me is like, you're not like a 19-year-old TikTok skater who's blowing up. You're like having this next level. Like you already got all the awards. You already have the pedigree.
Right.
It's after you got the pedigree that now shit is really blowing up. That's kind of crazy to just think about.
Yeah, no, like I said, man, I feel really grateful just to be in this position and, you know, look at a lot of the other dudes that skate and compete with that kind of haven't really taken advantage of like social media in the last year.
Yeah.
And you know, like you said, I'm going to be 30 next month, and I've been in this shit for a while now. And, it's like, it's almost like this newfound like avenue for me.
Totally.
I don't know. But with that being said, it's like, I feel like throughout my entire career, I've always been like, how long can I do this? Like, can I, you know, like every year has been like, fuck, am I still, I guess I'm still doing this. Like, shit,
yeah, right.
Let's go. So, but it's, it's good. And I feel like I definitely have some leverage now with this compound here in the backyard, you know, definitely got some sponsors like wanting to step up just because they've seen the amount of exposure coming out of this place. So yeah, man,
it's a good feeling.
Yeah,
it's a good feeling. It's cool that that's sort of like you've built the thing and now that's kind of the future for you.
Yeah, and it sucks, man. Like last year at X Games, they were supposed to, well, they built this ramp that was a replica of mine, and they were going to do that at X Games, and they were going to do this whole story around it, and then obviously everything got canceled. But even this year they just announced, well, not officially announced yet, that it's maybe coming in like a week or two, but they are doing X Games this year, but it's like in a parking lot with no audience, just a film crew. So at least they're doing one, but it's a weird feeling to like get excited about that and try and get fired up for like a the biggest contest of the year, but now there's no audience. And they did the same thing at Winter X Games this year in January. And just watching that on TV really put it into perspective for me as far as how much the audience and crowd, you know, really plays a factor into just the entire like vibe and energy of the event. It was so weird, man. Like these guys are doing like the hardest runs of their life and like it's fucking just crickets. It's just like,
yeah.
So then when they announced Summer X Games, I'm like, oh great, that's how it's gonna be. Like weird, but whatever.
I mean, are you competing?
Yeah.
Rad.
Yeah. I will be there.
So I guess the final question I have is like, what do you view, you know, so you've built the ramp in your backyard, right? You've kind of achieved it. That's like the skater dream, I feel, to some extent.
Right.
You know, what do you think is the next step? What happens next?
A good question, man. I'm fucking asking myself that all the time. I mean, you know, obviously I hope events come back and I hope they come back stronger than they did before, just because it's, you know, people are dying to do shit. And I think people, you know, this time away from events, people will appreciate them so much more. And hopefully there'll be a bigger turnout at events and just, a lot more events. But like I said, I'm working on another video part, which I'm hoping to put out later this year. And then in conjunction with that, I'm working like on this article in Thrasher. So I'm trying to time those together. And I started writing like another track for this song, just because like, or for the part, just because the last two video parts I wrote the song, and so now I feel like I kind of have to, like, you know, keep it cohesive like that. Like, okay, I wrote the music for these two. Sure. But yeah, I mean, it was really cool, man. The first video part I put out in 2016, I had Jordan Mancino from As Lay Dying. He did drums.
Yeah, I know. Jordan was, I met Jordan for the first time when I was 20 years old and nice. Like a tour managing, and he saw I was like weighing over my head, and he was like, let me teach you a couple things, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan's the best, dude.
I really appreciate him for that.
Yeah. I love those guys. And Nick Hippa did a solo on that song.
Yeah. It's fun. Oh, I was emailing him the other day.
Nice. Yeah, those dudes are the best. They all live around here. Like, yeah. Nick lives about, I don't know, 10 minutes from my house. And
that's awesome.
And then the last one that I put another video part out last January. And that we used the music from this little project that I started. It's called Night Fiends.
Sure.
And that was just like a dream come true, man, because In Flames is like one of my favorite bands since I was like 15.
Sure.
And we got Anders to sing on the track.
That's so kick-ass.
And yeah. And Aaron Pauly of Mice and Men did like the clean
really vocals on the
chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my buddy Tanner Wayne, who's like the drummer for In Flames, he was he was living with me for a bit. I guess it's like me and Tanner's project, and then it's kind of just like a collab project, like collab studio project.
Yeah.
You know, when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking like, I want to be in a band, I want to tour, and then just like as I got older, I'm like, I don't want to go fucking tour. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Not skate for 2 months. Like, there's no way I could do that. Like, sure. if I take like 4 days off from skating, I feel insane. So I can't imagine like taking that much time off. So then it was like, all right, let's just make a cool, just like fun collab project and just get different dudes to do like, you know, guest vocals, guest solos, like whatever. So anyways, we used one of the tracks for that last video part. So now it's kind of like, all right, I need to write another song, write something sick. But it also, it's like the skating and the music kind of like, I need to like I don't have all the footage yet. So that kind of dictates the song a little bit too. I feel like once I have all the footage laid out, then I can kind of like, you know, mold the song around the video part and how long it is and all that stuff.
Yeah. So you're busy. You got couple cool things coming up.
Got a couple cool things. Yeah. You know, we're working on a couple events at my house. But it's just, still weird. I mean, here in California, I guess they're lifting the mask mandate on the 15th. I don't know. It's just still a weird time. But, yeah, we're working on a couple events here at my place. You know, like I said, X Games next month. There's one contest in Australia in October, but
who knows?
I don't know. We'll see how that one plays out, because somebody told me that, like, I mean, as of right now, if you go to Australia, you have to quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
If that's the case, I'm definitely not going.
Yeah, no.
But that's it, man. Yeah, just trying to stay busy and, you know, learn new tricks, film new stuff. And it's definitely like a lot to juggle when you're like working on a new video part, and then it's like, oh shit, I haven't posted something in a few days. Maybe I should try and film something. And then you spend the next day or two trying to film one clip just for Instagram. And then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Back to filming for the main thing. Here we go.
It's a trip.
But it's all good.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for coming on, man. This has been really interesting, dude. And fun.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant, evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.